Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton is headed back to New Hampshire this weekend. Tomorrow, she'll accept the endorsement of the Planned Parenthood Action Fund at an event in Manchester. Today, she joins me to talk about the 2016 campaign and some of the issues that are coming up in this state. Secretary Clinton, welcome to Weekend Edition.
Well, it's great talking to you. I'm a big fan of public radio, as you may know.
This is a state where you have a long history. Your supporters sometimes call this state Clinton Country. You're the winner of the 2008 New Hampshire primary. The one state where the Democratic campaign has been tightest is New Hampshire, and I'm just curious what you make of that.
Well, I think that it is a very competitive campaign this time around. I know that in part it's because people in New Hampshire are very familiar with my principal opponent, Senator Sanders. He's been a neighbor, an elected official from Vermont for many years. It's a hard task to run against somebody from one of your neighboring states. That, in fact, there's a long record of success of those from your neighboring states in the New Hampshire primary. So I know I've got my work cut out for me. I'm working very, very hard because I think that American families have a lot at stake in this election, and we can't afford for the progress that we've made to be ripped away by the Republicans. And I believe that I am ready and certainly eager to get to work to make the economy work for everyone, not just those at the top, and to keep families and our country safe, and to tackle problems that people in New Hampshire talk to me about, like Alzheimer's or substance abuse or gun violence, because that's something that is really on the top of mind and keeping families up at night. So I'm going to work very, very hard until the last vote is cast and counted in New Hampshire.
Well, since you mentioned gun violence, I wanted to bring that up. You've applauded President Obama's policies on guns. Do you also then favor the means by which he's carrying out his policy, this idea of using executive actions when Congress is opposed to or not taking action on a particular policy? And what limits, if any, do you see on that executive authority with this or other issues?
Well, I believe that the president's actions are not only necessary, but legally appropriate under precedent of executive action. Clearly, he is taking action because Congress refuses to act, and we lose 90 people a day to gun violence. And I personally don't think there's anything more important than keeping our families safe and being able to send your children to school or go to the movies or go to a Bible study at church without worrying that someone will pull out a gun that they shouldn't have and start shooting. So I have been advocating during this campaign that we could take more action with executive authority to require more gun dealers to perform background checks and make it harder for criminals to buy guns. So I think this is an important step in the right direction.
You've often characterized this coming election as the country would need a Democratic president because a Republican president might undo a lot of what you've described as the progress over the last few years. And there are a lot of political analysts who are expecting that at least one or both of the houses of Congress will probably stay a Republican majority, even if a Democrat is elected to the White House. Take an issue like guns or the Affordable Care Act or defunding Planned Parenthood. And of course, you're accepting Planned Parenthood endorsement this weekend in New Hampshire. If you're elected and there is a Republican majority in one or both of those houses, is the next few years simply going to be you trying to block those Republican priorities and perhaps the GOP then trying to block yours?
Well, that's not how I see it, because I do have a lot of experience working with Republicans, first as First Lady, then as Senator for 8 years, then as Secretary of State, and I have been devoted to finding common ground that will enable us to solve problems, to get things done, and I would continue to do that as president. I think we have a very good chance to take the Senate back and turn it Democratic. But beyond that, I have been able to work with legislators in both the House and the Senate on priorities that I thought were important for our country, and I would continue to do that.
There's something of a consensus building on substance abuse, prioritizing prevention and treatment rather than law enforcement arrests. But that means there's greater demand then for treatment options, which aren't always available, or people find that their insurance may not be compatible. And given the scope of the problem, especially in this state, and given how sometimes a federal program like a healthcare exchange can take years to set up, how do we mobilize those resources so that they're quickly available to the people who need them?
Well, that's a really important question that I've addressed in rolling out a plan to have the federal government be a better partner in supporting the initiatives that state and local government will take to try to provide more treatment options and also to change the focus in law enforcement so that more people are channeled into treatment to have a chance to see recovery as opposed to into jail. I had two town halls this past summer whose only subject was substance abuse, one in Keene, one in Laconia. And the reason I did is because the first trip I made to New Hampshire in this campaign was to Keene, and people that I was meeting with said to me, what can you do to help us with this terrible heroin epidemic? And I began looking around for good ideas. I found some over in Vermont that Governor Shumlin has been implementing, and I'm very proud that the governor of Vermont has endorsed me and actually attended one of my town halls on substance abuse. And I also have worked with Mayor Marty Walsh of Boston, who himself is a recovering alcoholic. And we had a big town hall meeting in Boston to discuss this. So I've really tried to listen to people who are on the front lines about what we can do to support more treatment options, to divert more people from the criminal justice system, to equip every fire department and police department to be prepared to administer Narcan or another form of the antidote to try to reverse an overdose, try to work with prescribers, doctors and others, so that they're, you know, really careful about prescribing the painkiller opioids that often lead to heroin addiction. So I'm very committed to putting some federal support behind efforts like what your governor and others like Governor Shumlin in Vermont are trying to do.
You are fond in speeches of bringing up the New England grocery chain Market Basket as an example of a company
Yes.
you'd like to see more businesses emulate. And I'm curious, have you had a chance to visit a Market Basket? And if so, did it measure up to that ideal of where you'd like to see businesses and workplaces headed?
It is so funny you mentioned that, because I was just saying this week that I really want to get to a Market Basket because it's been a great example. I've talked to so many of the customers and so many of the workers who have been involved with Market Basket, and I feel very supportive of what they're doing about profit sharing. So I'm going to be getting there before the primary, because in addition to hearing about it, I want to see it for myself.
Well, Secretary Clinton, thanks so much for your time today.
It's great talking to you. Thank you very much.
That's Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton. You'll find more of our conversations with the candidates of primary 2016 at nhpr.org. You can also find out where all the primary candidates will be in New Hampshire by downloading our new iPhone app, State of Democracy. It features an interactive map of upcoming campaign events and much more. Just search State of Democracy in the iTunes store.